Well, what can we glean from our family cookbooks? Perhaps a great recipe for date squares or cut glass salad or mustard sauce or apple pudding. Those are my examples. But Marianne Gagnon stumbled across far more when she started flipping through her grandmother's cookbook, a topic for her university thesis. Marianne is a master's student in the history department at Carleton University. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. So a university thesis out of a cookbook? Tell me the story.
Well, when I was in my undergraduate years, I started looking through my grandmother's cookbooks just for fun because I really love cooking and it's a tradition in my family. And she has a lot of cookbooks from the 1960s. And they were particularly interesting because the 1960s were a time when Canadians were trying to create or define a national identity for the centennial, 1967. So these cookbooks have a very explicit discourse about especially cultural diversity. So I thought that was really fascinating. And taking Canadian cultural history classes, I realized that, you know, food was actually a legitimate topic for studies. So I decided to pursue that for my master's.
So you went looking for recipes but came out with a master's thesis.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Okay. So tell me about some of the recipes that jumped out at you as sort of fodder for your thesis.
Well, especially the ones that mentioned Aboriginal people, or back in the day they used to call them Indians, so all the recipes talk about Indians. And I thought that was particularly strange because having studied Aboriginal history, the 1950s and 60s were a time where the Canadian government was trying to push for assimilation and bring Aboriginal people into modernity, at least that's how they portrayed it. And these cookbooks are celebrating Aboriginal foods. So it was kind of strange to me because in the field, Aboriginal mothers were being convinced, or people were trying to convince them, that their diets were backwards, that they were primitive, and that they had to change from eating wild game to eating canned tomatoes. So it seemed a little strange that there was a celebration of Aboriginal foods, and I wanted to explore that, why they were including Aboriginal foods in this diversity of Canadian cultures.
Can you give me some examples of actual recipes that illustrate that?
There's a couple that come up quite a bit, pemmican and Indian pudding, but from what I can understand, Indian pudding is not actually an Indian or Aboriginal recipe. They call it that because it's got cornmeal in it, so it's sort of an invented tradition. And there's pemmican, but they always make pemmican in a way that's really not the historical way, which used to be dried meat with some berries and fat, but it's just like this completely recreated, almost like a meatloaf with berries in it. But mostly it's recipes that are European, Euro-Canadian, that use wild ingredients, that use Aboriginal food. So what's recognized is not so much the recipe as being Aboriginal as the ingredients in it. So Aboriginal people are not really represented as cooks so much as people who taught pioneers back in the day how to use certain wild Canadian ingredients.
You actually brought in some cookbooks with you this morning. Can you tell me about them?
Yes, I've got two. I've got one that's a company cookbook, so it was meant to promote the company, and it has all kinds of recipes from across Canada, from the different regions, and also from many different cultures. And the other one is a cookbook that was sponsored by the Department of Agriculture, also to celebrate Canada, and sort of the same concept. And what's interesting about these books is that they always have little introductions to the recipes that explain where the recipe comes from, where the ingredients come from. And so this is very different from the cookbooks that you had in the 40s or 50s, where they just give you the ingredients and the instructions and not really a story. But this really kind of tells you about the history of Canada, at least the way that people in the 1960s saw it.
Can you give me an example of one of the snippets that precede the recipes?
Well, for example, when they're talking about pumpkin or corn, they usually say the Indians taught the pioneers how to use this, and now we use it in modern ways, and we're very excited about this. They tend to emphasize how Aboriginal people had primitive ways of using these ingredients and how Euro-Canadians sort of modernized and improved on them. So it really places Aboriginal people in the past and negates their existence in modernity, which I thought was sad in a way, but it really shows the colonialist mind frame that's present in these cookbooks.
What does that tell you, Marianne? I mean, does this say that the people that write these cookbooks weren't on top of the latest sociological developments in our society? Or was it just a celebration of food? What's the big picture here?
I think it was absolutely well-intentioned. They were trying to celebrate cultural diversity. But what happens when you do that, especially in a cookbook where you're trying to represent so many different peoples, is that they tend to essentialize each culture. And this especially happens with Aboriginal people because they're presenting only a few Aboriginal foods. It's always the same ones that come back. corn, wild rice, cranberries, maple. What this does is that it presents Aboriginal cultures as being very simple, their culinary cultures as being very simple, when in fact Aboriginal people had and still have knowledge of hundreds and hundreds of edible plants and game and fowl in Canada. And so presenting only a short list makes them seem very simple. It's sort of like in old school books where you would have Aboriginal people in the very beginning of the historical narrative and then just sort of disappear in the 19th century.
Has the way people think about Aboriginal cooking been corrected or revised since these cookbooks were printed?
I've seen a few cookbooks from recent years, and it tends to be a little more diverse. But we still have the same problem, which is appropriation. A lot of these cookbooks about Aboriginal cooking are written by non-Aboriginal people, which is not necessarily bad in itself. I mean, I'm not Aboriginal, and I cook with wild foods all the time, and I've used a bunch of these recipes, and I've even cooked from Aboriginal cookbooks. But I think that self-representation is particularly important. And in the past few years, I think we're seeing a revival of food traditions in Aboriginal communities. It's really a movement that's happening, and there are cookbooks that are being published really in local communities by local members. The recipes are being shared, and so I think that's really the way to go.
When you told your grandma that you were doing your master's thesis on her cookbooks, or at least that was the starting point to it, what did she say?
I think she was rather excited. I mean, I just went to see her 2 days ago and borrowed another one of her cookbooks and said, "Hi, I'm coming to visit the archives." And she thought that was pretty funny.
You know, I bet you she wishes you'd cook more and write less.
Well, she usually cooks for me. She loves to cook. So anytime I go see her, she cooks, and she uses a lot of, you know, maple syrup and wild strawberries. These are all things I learned from her.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marianne Gagnon is a master's history student at Carleton University. We've tweeted out a picture of one of the key cookbooks from her thesis, and as soon as I saw it, I recognized it from my own mother's shelf. It's called Food à la Canadienne. Take a look at Hallie CBC or at Ottawa Morning and tell me, do you have that cookbook? Does your mother have that cookbook? 20 minutes past 6 o'clock.